Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. It's been a while since we've been back in Exodus, but we're going to pick up right where we left off. Exodus 9, verse 13. We're looking at the plagues. I believe this is the fourth plague. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Verse 14, For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause, have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." Now, my subject this morning is, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? The only way we can prove that we believe the Word of God is by faith in Christ. That's how we prove that we believe every word God speaks in this book, is by believing on Christ. Now, first, let's notice that even in those who do not believe God's Word, even the rebel who does not believe God's word, they're being used by God for the benefit of God's elect. He said in verse 14, "I'm sending these plagues upon all the people so that you will know that there's none like me in all the earth." And then in verse 16, he says, "In very deed, for this cause I've raised you up. I raised you up, Pharaoh, for this cause, to make my power known in you." Now, there is none like God. There is none like God. God makes his elect to know that he is the only true and living God, and there is salvation in no other. Deuteronomy 4, verse 32, he says, "Ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. Ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire?" Remember, God spoke through that burning bush. "Has ever anybody heard and lived? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? By temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes." The things we're seeing God do for Israel in Egypt, no other God ever did this for anybody. You know, that's why men who do not believe find this so incredibly difficult to believe, because their gods can't do this. And nobody's ever done this before. God alone did this. And so he says, unto thee it was showed that thou mayest know that the Lord, he is God, and there's none else beside him. This is God. I always remember when enemies arise and they don't believe our gospel and they turn against you and all that. Remember, God's using the enemy. Those that don't believe, he's using them to show you his power and his mercy towards you. Go over to Romans 9. We'll see that. Romans 9. When we face enemies and we see that they don't believe our gospel and they turn on us, and God's using that to show you his power and his mercy towards you. Look at Romans 9:15. He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, he's talking about salvation. So then, salvation is not of him that willeth, it's not of man's free will, nor of him that runneth, it's not of man's works, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, this is what we learn from him doing that in Pharaoh. Hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. That's God's prerogative as God, to have mercy on whom he will and to harden whom he will. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of one lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Now watch this. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fit to be destroyed? And he does that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. He does it, and he passes by some, he hardens some, so that you who he calls will see his glory in his mercy that he's given to you and in his power to call you out and make you believe. That's why there are enemies. So he's using even the enemy to glorify himself in the hearts of his people. That's why he raised up Pharaoh. You just think, if Pharaoh's hadn't been rejecting God and rejected Moses and rejected all these mighty wonders, we wouldn't see all these things that God is. Because Pharaoh was used to reject Moses and reject all God's word, we get to see a very beautiful picture of how God redeems his people in Christ, our Passover lamb. We wouldn't see that otherwise. The devil's not God's rival. You know, men present him as, you know, God's fighting and the devil's fighting, and sometimes the devil wins, sometimes God wins. Devil is not God's rival. The devil is God's devil. Just like he raised up Pharaoh for the purpose of showing his power and showing his people how he saved, he allowed the devil to fall so that his people would have an adversary, and so that he would come and crush the serpent's head by Christ the Lord and show us how he saves. The devil is not a rival. It's God's devil. Now, secondly, we see here in Exodus 9 that through the preaching of his word, God gives fair warning to everybody that judgment's coming. He gives fair warning to everybody that judgment is coming. The word goes forth to everybody, his people and people that don't believe. It goes forth to everybody. So, if a man doesn't believe, it's nobody's fault but his own. He doesn't have God to blame. God's given him ample warning. God's preached his word just like he preached his word to everybody. Look here in Exodus 9:13. The Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that you may know there's none like me in all the earth." Look at verse 15. "For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and you'll be cut off from the earth." Verse 17. "As yet exaltest thou self against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I'll cause it to rain a very grievous hail." He kept warning him, and he even told him the time that it's coming. And just like he gave Pharaoh warning and gave the Egyptians warning, God's given us all warning. We're under the curse by nature. And judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And he's warned us all. God's not left himself without a witness in any generation. He's preached this word to every creature under heaven. He's not left himself without a witness. God even gave them direction on what to do to save themselves. Look down at verse 19. "Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die." He told them exactly what to do to be saved. Get your cattle and your servants and get in the house. Get in the covering. Get under the roof. God has sent this word to everybody in this place, declaring there's coming the sure, certain judgment of God upon all men who are under the curse of the law. We broke God's law, and therefore Moses, the law, picture of the law, he must lift up his rod to heaven, and he must smite every man unto death. God has to do so to be just. He has to do to be just. But God sent direction. He's given us all direction. He's teaching us all how it is. And the only way we can be saved, get in Christ. Get in Christ, because Christ is the covering. Get in Christ, just like they were told to get in the house. And those men that stayed out in the field, those men that won't believe on Christ, they won't have a covering. And they'll die. They will die. You see, here's the gospel. Christ gave himself to be made sin for his people. For every person that shall be brought to believe on Christ, God, Christ gave himself for us to be made sin for us, to that he might bear the just judgment of God. The hail of God's wrath, the rod of God's justice came down on Christ instead of his people. And so now he sends this gospel forth and he tells you and I, get in Christ. Just like he told them, get in the house, get in Christ, and you'll have the covering. And there'll be no hell, no judgment fall on you forever. The wages of sin is death, and Christ paid that ransom price. He paid it in full. So God will never judge his people. He said, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness." He redeemed us with judgment. He did it in a just way, and he's going to convert us through the preaching of the truth, the preaching of his righteousness. Christ paid the ransom in full and redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." That's what he accomplished. He's redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. So sinners go around, you hear them, and they boast about their free will. And here's the truth of the matter. God's given everybody fair warning. And Christ said, "You will, you're willing not to believe on me. You'll search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life." You search the scriptures looking for something to do to save yourself. And Christ said, "But you will not believe on me that you might be saved." You see, man's will is in bondage to his nature. Whatever your nature is, if your nature is left like it is when you're born the first time, it's sinful, and your will's in bondage to your sinful nature. All you're willing to do is what's sinful. But when God gives you a new heart, that new nature is in bondage to that new heart. Your new will is in bondage to that new heart. In the new man, where he's given us this faith, you cannot not believe on Christ. You cannot not love your brethren. It's the only thing you can do, because the will of the new man's in bondage to that new nature he's put in you. You get what I'm saying? The will's in bondage to the nature. That's what Romans 6 tells us. You were the servants of sin. You were slaves of sin. You were in bondage to sin. All you could do was sin. But now, you're the servants of righteousness. You're the slaves of righteousness. All you can do is that which is righteous. And that's in the new man. Sin's mixed with all we do in the outward man. But in the new man, there's a righteous man that loves righteousness. Now lastly, I want to show you here, those who believe God's word, they prove it by entering into Christ our covering. Those who truly believe God's word prove it by entering into Christ our covering through faith in him. And those who do not believe God's word, those who disregard God's word, prove it, because they will not enter Christ. Look here in verse 20. The Lord says this. This is so plain. He that feared the word of the Lord, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. You see it there? The man who guards the word of God is going to flee into Christ. The man who doesn't regard it, he's going to stay out in the field. It's sad that sinners make all these different excuses for not believing on Christ. They make excuses for departing from where God's word is preached in spirit and in truth. But you know what I've noticed when I've heard all these different excuses? There's not one of those excuses, not one of those excuses would keep those people from going to the grocery store to get food. Not one of those excuses would keep them from going to their job to earn a paycheck. You know why? Those things are their life. They got to have it. And you see, we prove what our life is by what we're willing to put up with to have it. We'll put up with a whole lot to have Christ. And it's a rare thing to have Christ in this world. There's just the preaching of Christ is, you rarely find it, brethren. There's churches, a lot of churches, and you further south you go, the more churches you see. I can drive two blocks down south and point out six or seven churches. But to find the gospel preached is such a rare thing. His sheep are willing to travel long distances for green pasture. And we're willing to put up with a whole lot to have the gospel. And there's no excuse that we'll make to part from it. That's the difference God makes in the heart. The fact that these regarded not the word of the Lord meant they had no fear of God before their eyes. Listen to 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That can't be said of men who are in Will Works religion and they get mad at the preacher and they leave and they go to another Will Works church. That can't be said of them, because all they did was switch from one church to another church. That's said of those who are under the sound of salvation by free and sovereign grace in Christ alone, who leave it and either don't go anywhere else or go to a Will Works church. That's the only ones this can be said about. They went out from us because they're not of us. Those that God has redeemed, those he's regenerated, they're going to stay where the gospel is, because it's God's power making them do it, and God don't fail. That's why. As many are as of the works of the law. Now that man who's saying, I'm going to stay out in the field, I'm not going to believe on Christ, he's saying, I can save myself by my own works. That's what he's saying. Go to Galatians 3:10. I want you to see this. This is what you're up against if you're going to try to come to God in any goodness in you or any work you've done. This is what you're up against. Galatians 3:10. As many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse. That means whoever you are who wants to be under the works of the law, you're under the curse. Because here's what's written. This is what God says He demands of anybody that wants to try to come to Him by their own goodness and by their own law keeping. Here's what God demands. He said, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Is there anybody here? Anybody here? Let me just ask this one question. Especially you who want to come to God by your works. Can you even quote all the Ten Commandments? Do you know all the Ten Commandments? What about beyond the Ten Commandments? Can you tell me what the laws are beyond the Ten Commandments? Because there's a bunch more. There's 600-something laws. You see, most men who want to come to God by the works of the law don't even know the law. And they certainly don't know the law was given to declare us guilty. Law wasn't given. If there'd been a law, Paul said, whereby they could have given life, life would have been by the law. But the law can't give you life. All the law can do is pronounce you guilty. Think about it. That's all our civil laws do. Our civil laws can't make a man obedient. They have no, they're doing no work in the hearts of men to make them obedient. All the civil laws we have to do is tell you, you've broken the speed limit. You didn't pay your taxes. That's all they do. And that's all the law of God does. It does not give anybody life. If you started today and kept every law perfectly, which you can't do, you still got sin that's got to be paid for. And you can't pay for that by keeping the law. Christ is the only one who could. And it'll be just like God's Word said it will. Look here in Exodus 9:24. "So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, the herbs of the field, all their fruit. He brake every tree of the field." Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, "Christ shall come the second time in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God," and listen to this, "that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Those that will not obey this word that's going forth right now and get in Christ. He said they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. But here's the good news. Go to 2 Kings 22. If you humble yourself at Christ's feet and cast all your care on Him, God will have mercy on you. God will save you. God will give you eternal life. You will not be touched by the judgment of God. Listen to this. 2 Kings 22:19. This is when the king of Judah heard that God was about to pour out judgment on Judah. And he sent some men to inquire for him. That's a picture of you coming to Christ, the mediator, to go to God for you. And this was the word that came back to him. Watch this. Verse 19. "Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you've rent your clothes and wept before me, you repented. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. You see, when you believe on Christ, it's proof that God's given you a humbled heart. He's given you a heart that's broken and contrite to believe God's word and come to Christ and bow to Christ. And when you do that, God promises throughout His Word He'll have mercy on you. He'll have mercy on you. He's had mercy on you to make you come. And He'll continue to have mercy on you. He will receive you. And the one way that we prove we're elect children, you know, men always hear the doctrine of election and they hate it. Well, how do you know who the elect are? There's just one way. Just one way. Those that believe on Christ. Listen to what Paul said. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." How come? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. They were turned to believe on Christ. That's how you know who the elect are. That's how you know. Those that believe the word of God and flee into Christ through faith shall be saved, brethren. Look here, Exodus 9:26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. We've seen this before. Our land of Goshen, just like our house, our covering, is Christ. When you're in Christ, you're in the land where God, no judgment of God is ever going to fall. It'll never fall because it's already fallen on Christ. Go to Hebrews 9. I showed you this the other day, but I'm still feeding on this, even since the Florida conference. Hebrews 9:27. All for whom Christ died at Calvary have our judgment settled. Everybody's got to die and face judgment. But everybody that was in Christ, by God's grace, we face judgment in Christ, and we died in Christ, so our judgment's settled. Watch this, Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Our judgment's settled. Those that believe on Christ, our judgment's settled. And go to Romans 8 now. Since your judgment's settled, this is the good news. Romans 8. God must and shall call everyone for whom judgment is settled. He must do it because he won't be guilty of double jeopardy. He will not pour out wrath on one that's already been justified. And this is what the Word says, Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Nothing. He goes on to say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. Absolutely nothing. Now, sinner, it's this simple. In the day of judgment, if you're found outside of Christ, you're going to be like those men who were out there in that open field in Egypt. You're going to face the judgment of God. And he's going to slay you, and you'll go away into separation from God. And that won't be the end. It's called everlasting destruction, never ending, and that'll be just for God to do that. That'll be just for him to do that. Only those that believe on Christ enter into their home, enter into the land of Goshen, and there'll be no judgment fall on us because Christ already bore it. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Those men that heard this and stayed out in that field, You know when they started shaking in their boots? When that first hailstone fell about big as a softball or a basketball. That's when they said, we have messed up. We should have believed God. That's what you're going to say. I should have believed the Word. Do you believe the Word of God? There's only one way to know if you do. It's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. That's the only way. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you behold now in those that God has passed by what great mercy and grace and power God's had upon you. There's no difference in you and those who don't believe. There's absolutely no difference in us in our flesh. The difference is the grace of God. The difference is the difference God made. That's the difference. That's why we say salvation is of the Lord. And for you who believe him, there'll be no judgment. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Father, thank you for giving us clear warning through your word. Thank you for the grace to flee into Christ, to believe on him. And Lord, we pray for those that are yet in the field. We pray for those that have not cast their care on you. Pray, Lord, you draw them through this message and through this fair warning. Bring them into Christ and cause them to rest with us. We have nothing but good things to look forward to. Things that have never even entered into our minds. It'll be so good. And those that are outside of Christ, oh, there's judgment awaiting that they can't imagine. Lord, we ask you to save them for your own glory and your own name's sake. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.